So I oftentimes these days just feel like I want to escape. I especially feel this way when I get stuck in traffic, which I'm noticing is making a real good, solid comeback these days. I'll be sitting there in traffic and I'll just feel like, man, I just wish I could get away. I wish I could break free. I wish I could be going down an open road somewhere, maybe in an RV or something, with no pressing concerns, no schedules, nothing to have a hold on me. I just want to break free. But you know, breaking free in this world is a hard thing to do. You know, a rocket has to attain and then sustain speeds of up to 7 miles per second, 7 miles per second, in order to break free of the Earth's gravitational pull. Well, I think that the gravitational pull of our routines, our habits, our ways of thinking, and not to mention the gravitational pull of our guilt sometimes, our regret, our shame that we feel in our lives, that breaking free of those things can be just as difficult. To break free of those things that conspire to bind us to our past and prevent us from really soaring and living a new and better life. That's difficult to do. And I think actually it takes a miracle. Now, we've been talking for the last few weeks about miracles, particularly about Jesus' miracles as he went on this journey that I call his miracle mile, where he's demonstrating in a powerful way what it is to live in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God that is right here, a kingdom of God. A way of looking at ourselves and looking at others and looking at the world from God's point of view. A way of looking at ourselves and our lives with expectation that God is going to show up, that God is involved in our lives, that miracles are happening to us all the time if we have the eyes of faith with which to see them. That these miracles, they come sometimes at the speed of light. Immediate, spectacular. Sometimes they come at the speed of life, incrementally. They unfold slowly over time. But either way, they encompass everything from the inexplicable remission of a deadly cancer to the conception, gestation, and birth of a human being. When we look at our life this way, when we look at the things around us in this way, and then when we look at the miracles of Jesus and the message behind those miracles, well, it reminds us that indeed God is with us and that we are walking with him on that miracle mile today if we have our eyes open for it, if we're looking. And one of those great miracles that God gives to us is this miracle of freedom, of being able to break away to true freedom and a new and a better life. Well, it's that kind of freedom that Jesus is pointing to in this story that we're going to look at today from chapter 9 in the book of Matthew. It says that Jesus stepped onto a boat, crossed over the Sea of Galilee, and came into his own town of Capernaum. Now, you'll remember last week we talked about Jesus arriving in Capernaum, and when he did, there was a man there, a Roman centurion, who asked Jesus, he pled with Jesus to please heal his servant who was back home and who was paralyzed, and Jesus did that. He healed that man with just a word from his mouth, from afar, healed that servant of his paralysis. Well, subsequently, Jesus went away, and now he is returning to Capernaum once again. And as it says, he arrived on the other side He came into that place and he crossed over into his own town. And when he arrived there, some men brought him a paralytic lying on a mat. There is a group of friends and they have on a stretcher their friend who is paralyzed. Now, we don't know exactly how far these guys had to come or the obstacles that they had to overcome in order to get to Jesus. But we know this, that in the telling of this story that occurs in the book of Luke or in the book of Mark, in their telling of the story, Jesus is already inside a house by the time these guys arrive. And the entrance to the house is so crowded, just so choked with people trying to get in, that these friends go around the back of the house, they hoist their paralyzed friend up on top of the roof, and then they dig through the soil and thatch roof of this house. This is what they do. And then they lower their friend down right in front of where Jesus is sitting. And in that telling of the story and in this, when Jesus sees the kind of faith that these guys have, he is delighted. And it reminds us again that that's a theme that goes through all of these stories on the Miracle Mile. That the only difference between people, the only difference that makes a difference to Jesus is faith. Who has faith? Do you have faith or do you not have faith? Well, these guys, they have a lot of faith and they bring their friend to Jesus, hoping that he will solve the paralysis problem of their friend. And when Jesus sees them, he sees their faith, and he says to them this interesting thing. He says, "Take heart, your sins are forgiven." Now, this is way different than what Jesus has said before in those miracles that we've discovered before. Jesus doesn't say, "Be clean," and his healing what happened to his arm, the guy that was leprous, right? He doesn't say, "Go and it will be just as you have believed," as he did to the Roman centurion last time. He takes a completely different tack here. He says, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." Now, it may not have seemed to them, to the people listening, or to this man, as odd as it may sound to us that he would say this. Because you remember, in these days, in this context, in the temple religion, people believed that there was a solid connection, a cause and effect connection between physical ailments and their distance from God, their sin, their distance from God, or God's displeasure with them. If God was displeased with you, you could count on it showing up in your body. So for Jesus to say, "Son, your sins are forgiven," may not seem as crazy to them as it did to us. But listen, Jesus actually refuted that whole theory. He did not go along with that strict causal connection between sin and physical ailments. But he makes the connection here. And he makes the connection here because he wants to get across a deeper message behind this miracle that's going to occur in a minute. And the deeper message behind this miracle is this. Listen, there are more than one way. There's more than one way to be paralyzed. There's more than one way to be paralyzed. We can be paralyzed physically, of course, but we can also be paralyzed emotionally and mentally and spiritually. When we have a faulty idea of who God is and what God wants for us, and when we carry unrepented, unforgiven sin. I knew a woman once who, towards the end of her life, she was having all kinds of physical problems, as we do, and even her mind was beginning to slip a little bit, as it will. But the more she went down that season of her life, the more she would say things like this: "Why is this happening to me? I've always been such a good person. Now, underneath that plea, that complaint, was an idea of God that she had that I think was just so sad and so wrong. She'd always believed that if she was just good enough, if she just did enough good things, if she was just a good enough person, a good God would reward her. Now, that's a real problem because she'd had a tough life. She'd had a tough life all of her life. She was wrestling with things after the day she died that had happened to her when she was a kid. Her husband had been taken from her tragically when she was young. She'd had two marriages after that. Both of them failed. This lady had a really tough life. Well, the only way she could make sense of those circumstances, given her view of God, would look at it two ways. Either God was not good or she was really, really bad. That she could never do anything that was good enough to please this God that she believed in. That's what she believed. That's what she believed. And she was paralyzed by that belief. This belief that she was to blame, that her sin was so bad, that she was so bad, she could never please God. That bound her to her past. It paralyzed her. It prevented her from living the life of happiness that I believe God had for her. It prevented her from seeing her life from God's point of view. It prevented her from seeing oftentimes the many miracles that were occurring all around her, even at that very moment. See, there's more than one way to be paralyzed. And we can be paralyzed by the past when we have a faulty idea of who God is and what God wants for us. So Jesus says to this man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And to a man who believed that there probably was a real causal connection between his condition and his sin, those were probably words that just really gave him a lot of hope and really gave him a lot of comfort. But they were also words that made the blood boil of some of the people who were sitting in that room that day. Now, we haven't talked a lot on this miracle mile about the people who were opposed to Jesus, but they were there. They were those teachers of the law, those people that were highly invested in the temple religion. And they heard these words of Jesus, and they were offended by these words of Jesus, these words of forgiveness offered to this man. They said, "This man, Jesus, is blaspheming." In other words, he is dishonoring God. He is dishonoring God by assuming to take the authority, claim authority for himself that is only due to God. In other words, only God can forgive sins. And listen, they were right. Only God can forgive sins, ultimately. Actually, our ability to forgive sins to those who sin against us, that power comes from God. Ultimately, only God can forgive sins. But see, that was the second message of this miracle that Jesus is going to do in a second. His message is, I am God. Jesus is God. Jesus has that authority to forgive your sin and my sin. And to prove it, Jesus said to these men, he said, "What is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you may know that I, the Son of Man, has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And the man got up, and he went home, and the crowd saw this, and they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men who had given such authority to Jesus. But listen, what was the greater miracle there? What would have been the greater miracle? What would be the greater miracle to you today? To have all of your physical ailments cured for now, or to have your sin forgiven forever? What is the greater miracle? That's what God has for us today. Listen. No one is so bad. No one is so filled with guilt, so wrapped up in regret, so shackled by shame, that God will not forgive you. If you believe today that you do not deserve God's love and forgiveness, if you believe that you are not worthy of God's love and forgiveness, let me tell you something. You are in the right place. Join the club, because you're right. No one deserves God's love. No one deserves God's forgiveness. But listen to this. That's the miracle. God gives it to us anyway. God gives it to us anyway. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, God frees us from that paralysis of our past, from all that guilt, all that regret, all that shame, and frees us to soar into a new and better life with Him. That's the miracle. Well, when Jesus finished healing this man, he went out to the outskirts of town. And there on the outskirts of town, there was a toll booth where a tax collector sat. Tax collectors were thought to be the lowest of the low. They were despised. They were hated mostly by most of their brethren. There was a tax collector there. And his name was Matthew, the man who wrote this book. And as Jesus got out to the outskirts of town, and he saw this lonely tax collector, sinner, he said to him, "Follow me." And Matthew left his past behind and followed Jesus. And later on, as they were having a meal together in Matthew's house, Jesus was heard to say, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners." God's calling. Jesus is calling to you and to me and to all of us. There's no one who is so bad, so filled with guilt, so wrapped up in regret, so shackled to shame, that God will not forgive you. Well, next week we're going to continue on this road, this miracle mile with Jesus. And we're going to see as he demonstrates in a powerful way that the old is gone and new has come for you and for me. But this week, listen, if you feel like your future is being held hostage to your past, if you feel that you're being held down by guilt and regret and shame, I'm going to give you an opportunity in a minute to pray a prayer with me to see if you can be released from your past. and begin to soar into a brand new and beautiful future. Beginning with hearing the Lord God say to you, son, daughter, child, take heart. You are forgiven. Let's pray together if you want to say these words with me. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. But I believe that you don't want me to be bound to my sin. I believe that Jesus Christ has died to pay the price for my sin. And that through him I can be free. So free me. Let me soar, O God, into a new and better future with you. I ask this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.